started tonight, we would get you to turn to page 235. Does anybody have another request you want to make mention of tonight?
Yes.
Amen. Yes.
Never free from harm.
Amen.
You're gonna have to transfer to the cost of it. That's the access. You're gonna have to, red food for that outside of trains to bring you this stuff.
Okay. Amen. Amen. Remember this.
You're a bad boy.
Oh, goodness. Amen. Yeah, remember, so you're gonna have to go in and get a pulverized, you know? Remember, preacher Pat. All right, that's all there is. If everybody will stand, please, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. I'm sorry, is it Gary? Jeff. Sorry, I got close. Would you make some prayer, please, brother?
You know what that tells me? That
tells me it's work he's done.
Yeah.
It ain't the work that I'm done or that I'm doing.
Yeah.
It's the work that he's done.
Yeah.
It's the work that he's doing.
Yeah.
Amen. I appreciate, I hope that's our mind tonight, to look and to hope for what God's doing. Amen. I can't do it. My strength is in him. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might.
Amen.
Got Brother Charles, Miss Jerry, Brother Tony singing for us. Y'all moving together. Y'all go ahead and come on and get ready. While they're getting ready, I'll say this. After saying what I just said, we understand that revival can happen in an instant.
Amen.
It can happen in one service. There can be one sense out of one service. And if you allow that to enter into your heart, sorry, Mr. Jerry, if you allow that to enter into your heart the way God intended it, it can do something for you that change for the rest of your life. I hope that this week carries on, even if we don't have a service Saturday night. Whatever happens here tonight, tomorrow night, last night, Monday, Tuesday night, I hope that it carries on with you.
Yeah.
It stays with you.
Yeah.
And it does something. That's my prayer for myself. I hope that's your prayer for yourselves. I appreciate y'all seeing me.
Sometimes I'm took my wife and I took supper up to Vivian tonight, and she asked us to sing, and I told her to be Charles and Jerry. She said, "Well, sing me one." So, Vivian, this one's out to you. I know Jesus will always stand by me.
Amen.
Thank you.
say, I wouldn't say I'm thankful for God, because every time I'm lost, he chases me. So I'm thankful to be chosen by him for him to chase me that much. Because I have been lost a lot of times in my life, but he's always come to find me. And I'm just thankful for that.
Amen.
That this kind of blessings. I know that
none of the words of our Lord, if you've got a red letter edition, what I'm going to read is red letters. We know that he did not just speak in vain.
Right.
Our purpose, our reason for everything he spoke. But this title for this message tonight, I call it Sparrows and Hags. That kind of goes together anyway. Sparrows and Hags. We see something that Jesus says here about the sparrows. And he says something like that. Y'all take a joke.
Yeah.
You know, bald-headed man said one time, he said, God made perfect heads and the rest of them cut with hair. I used to work with a black guy. He'd aggravate the guy that he worked with, and he'd say, the Lord thought for me, he didn't. Why is that? I said, he colored me, he just left you white. That's not racist. I mean, that's not But you know, the thing is tonight, here's what's a blessing. God is in no respect.
Right.
He does not love. I know that the Bible says that he loved Israel with an everlasting love.
Yeah.
And even he had a love for the world.
Yeah. Amen.
For he so loved the world,
right. Yeah.
Everybody in it.
Yeah.
He so loved the world, amen. He gave his only begotten Son.
Amen.
So we can believe in him and be saved.
Yeah.
Amen.
But I'll just read a few verses if you'll look with me tonight. We're starting about verse number 26. Matthew chapter 10. He said, fear them not therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what you hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him that is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them should not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Whoso shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father and his daughter and against his mother and his daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's foes shall be they of his own household. That loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. I'll just read on. It said, he that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. He that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only, in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Father, tonight in Jesus' name, we're thankful to be able to gather together again. Lord, I ask that you'd help me tonight. Lord, I need you to need power.
God, we're thankful for your watch care, your influence in the things of our lives. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Tonight, these two subjects in this text, he talks about sparrows, then he talks about the very hairs of our head are all numbered. Now what we learn from the text is how God views the importance of his children. You're important to
him. Amen. Amen.
I often think about his investment in me.
Right.
It cost him his life.
Yes.
Amen.
Right.
And we know that, and it's not just Baptist doctrine, but it's Bible doctrine. God saved me for time and eternity.
Amen.
Amen.
I say this whenever the night that I got saved as a little boy, that God changed my life for eternity. I just stopped by Shady Grove Baptist Church tonight. I'm on a journey.
Yeah.
I'm heading home.
Amen.
I'm going home someday.
Yeah.
Amen. Because he has ordained that.
Right.
That where he is,
Amen. It
is ordained that one day I'm going to be there.
Amen.
Nothing can change.
Amen.
No devils, no deviling self, no human being, no religious system, no government. And change what God ordained in me. His interest in me was that he certainly could save me from my sin, of course, save me from myself. But I want to just put this emphasis on tonight, his interest in you. Your problems, the things that bother you. I remember when I was just a young Christian, I thought that you don't have to tell God about all the big stuff in your life. But I found out that he's my heavenly Father.
Yeah.
I talked to him about them little things. You know, it's a combination of those little things that spoils your life. Amen. He says, the little foxes that spoil the vine.
Right.
It's that constant gnawing and that constant influence of the world. But after a while, if we're not careful, the devil will convince us that God's left us and we're out here all along. But I'm glad Jesus put some emphasis on some very minute and special things in our life. He said, why? Even if one of your hairs turns loose, I'm going to know it because I have every hair in your head numbered. That's what the Bible says.
Amen.
You know how it's hard time for some of us as it does others. But I'm glad tonight he's interested.
Yeah.
You know, one day I was combing my hair, and this little hair just kept hanging down there and tickling me. And I mean, it just about killed me to take my scissors and cut that little hair off because I ain't got a lot. But the reality is, you know what I'm glad of tonight, God?
Yeah.
And I want to just put that emphasis. So let me just give you some things to consider. Now, we can see his omnipresence, his omniscience and his omnipotence. That means he's everywhere, knows everything, and has all power. The providence of God extends to the minutest things. Everything is continued under the government and care of God. I believe that tonight, don't you?
Yeah.
Nothing occurs without his will or permission.
Right. That's right.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. That's true.
Yeah.
He didn't, the devil didn't get to go run roughshod over Job without permission.
Right.
Everything he did to Job, God allowed it to take place.
Right.
But we understand that even in all that, that God would, I'm certain, to reward Job for his integrity and his faithfulness.
Right.
Here's the thing I always feel like when I'm going through a test, I pray that I'll not fail because I believe that how that God has some divine emphasis that he's going to put on my life. And I've heard this, Brother Tony, so many times of people that have terminal illnesses and things that great tragedies in their life, they'll make statements like this: the Lord has shown me things about himself that I have never known before. Amen. Aren't you glad he's the friend that sticks close to that brother? I mean, others, brother preachers, all of us have had them to tell you. Oh, how we love you, preacher. We're going to stand by you, preacher. But tonight they're gone. And I'm telling you this, he's always been faithful. He's stood right. How glad he kept every promise that he's ever made unto us tonight.
Amen.
So you think about, there is nothing that occurs in my life or yours that's not without his permission and his divine will. If he then regards sparrows, he said, how much more man, and how much more still the soul that trusts in him has he a regard for. Now when you look at those little sparrows, they said they're birds of very small kind and value. They had a black throat and brown temples. They were used for food among the Jews and were an image of sorrow, solitude, or wretchedness. The sparrow is a member of the Finch family, they say. Now here's what he does. He encouraged them not to fear by striking two considerations. First, God took care of sparrows, the smallest and the least valuable birds. They weren't worth much. One indication said that when you bought four, you got an extra sparrow. It was like that they were so minute in their word that they kind of had to throw another one in to make you think you were getting a good deal.
Yeah.
Kind of like my mama, bless her heart, she'd buy anything that was two for a dollar because she thought she was getting a real deal if you could get two for a dollar. That's the truth.
Yeah.
I mean, but the thing is, when you look at what the scripture emphasis is here, this little sparrow, he's not worth it. Let me tell you something about it. One of the biggest dangers any of us have is to get it in our mind that we're something special and that we're above, my friend, how certainly the need of God in our life.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
So he used the little sparrow to teach us a valuable lesson. Second, by the fact that God numbered even the very hairs of the head. The argument is, if he takes care of birds of the least value, if he regards so small a thing as the hair of the head and numbers it, he certainly will protect and provide for you. We need not therefore fear what man can do with us.
Right.
He said that.
Right.
He said that in the scripture. He said, listen, I know the very number of the hairs in your head.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, you are more valued to me. How did all those sparrows out here in the world? I tell you, I told this to the story. I read this one time. Said this fellow, he pulled into a little drive-in place to eat and ordered a sandwich and some fries and took a bite or two off of it and threw it out in the parking lot, backed out. The old fellow was standing there looking at that and he said, you know what? He said, God made that fellow think he is hungry. So he went and bought that, because after he threw that out, the little birds just came. I cleaned it up what he'd thrown out. He said, God made that fellow think he is hungry and buy him birds something to eat so he can take care of his little sparrow. I'm glad tonight God's got his eyes on you.
Amen.
I promise you, I mean, we live on, our church is on a pretty busy road. I guarantee you, probably 99% of people who pass by there could care less about what goes on in Kansas Mountain Baptist Church.
Yeah.
I'm glad they said God, the maker and the owner of the universe.
Yeah.
He looks down, my friend. Tonight he's looking down on the city, the old Baptist Church. He said, there's a group of my saints that have come together. I want to tell you, he's very much interested in what we're thinking tonight. He's very much interested in what we're going through with our lives. Amen. I'm glad I got a God that cares. There's an average of square inch of scalp, the average human head has around 100,000 hairs upon it. And even out of that, if one fell out, he would know. For he has the very hairs of our head. Let me just give you my thoughts. Number one, the insignificance of the sparrows. In Matthew 10, again, 29, it said, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall off the ground without your father. Now, farthing is the value of a half penny. Farthing in the original as being the tenth part of a Roman penny. And then you think about this, and over Luke 12, 6, he said, are not five sparrows sold for two farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God.
Right.
I mean, you read stuff like that, it just blesses me.
Right.
And then God would say, but you're more valuable.
Amen.
I know the sparrows.
Yeah, yeah.
But I know you too.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
I don't care. Listen, I've never been too much about how people knowing my name. I'm terrible with names. You may tell me, and I'll probably forget it before I get out of here tonight most times. But I'm just telling you tonight, but isn't it good? Like the Rochester family saying, isn't it good he knows your name?
Right.
He knows where you are.
Right.
He knows what you're feeling tonight.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't think he's ever turned me away when I did. When I come before him and said, God, I felt like every preacher probably said, but to be honest, there's times we get up in the pulpit. We drive home on Sunday night, Brother Johnny, and I say, God, I just feel like let's it down today. I just thought it'd be better than what it turned out. Amen.
Right.
Brother Stoney, something you said just made me think. Some of these things, I mean, we think we've got that sensational sermon. I mean, it goes over about like a lead balloon.
Right.
When I have got up and felt like I didn't give much more than a little testimony, the phone rang before I got there to get home. So the preacher just won't tell you. Just won't tell you what a blessing that was.
Right.
I'm telling you tonight, brother, I'm glad that we got a God.
Amen.
He said it. He said even not one of those little sparrows is forgotten before God.
Right.
I don't know what the devil tells you from time to time. But he never forgets you.
Right.
He never, my friend, takes his eye off you.
Right.
He knows everything that's going on in mine and your life.
Right.
He already knows about my tomorrow.
Yes.
Brother Charles Lewis used to say, he's already in your tomorrow.
Right.
Getting it ready.
Right.
For your revival, your revival. I'm going to tell you something about God. God is, he's in his omnipresence. And whenever God introduced himself, he said, I am that I am.
Right.
You know what that means? And he appeared in history, in the past, in the present, even the way else on in the future. Everything looks the same.
Right.
Everything looks present to him.
Right.
You know what? That's why John could write down the final analysis.
Yeah.
Give us the consummation of the age, because God's already there. He's the first and he's the last.
Right.
He's the Alpha. Secondly, tonight we talked about the interest of the Father. I'm not too far. Spare a soul for a father, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without me, Father. I just wrote this down. He knows where we are.
Yeah, God.
He knows where we are in the good, but he also Amen. Knows where we are in the bad.
Right. Amen.
I thought of something, Brother Stoney, Brother Kim Frank, he'd say, he'd always say, you're as close to God as you want.
Yeah.
Amen. You got as much of God as you want.
That's right.
Yeah. I believe that.
Yeah.
See, here's the thing. You know, in Scripture, when you really look at it, you say, boy, preacher, if I really got close to God, I'd have all these sensational feelings. I'm going to tell you what getting close to God do for you. The closer you get to God, the more you see the more you see yourself, Isaiah said, when he saw the Lord high lifted up. What was that word? Whoa. Whoa. I'm a man undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people.
Right.
See, the reason why we really don't want to get close to God, because holiness demands something of this
world. Right.
It demands sacrifice.
Amen.
Right. Amen. It demands that you may have to quit doing something you're doing. It might demand that you're going to have to give up some club or some organization, some ball team. Bless God. It demands how do we make a commitment to God. That's why we kind of stand aloof, because when we get close to Him, He pulls the cover off of our shortcomings. But the reality is, if you, He said, if you lose your life, you're going to gain more. By giving yourself to me, He said, if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. I'm going to tell you, you cannot lose. You cannot lose tonight by calling and his submitting by the most of ourselves. I was totally comfortable. I'm telling you this thing sometimes that the war of this old flesh, God makes it so.
Yes.
Amen. But He knows who we are coming.
Amen.
He knows exactly what happens to us.
Amen.
The other day I got some kind of sickness and I was sick. And my wife called me. I went to the doctor on Saturday morning over at Burke Primary Care. They said, if you come in and see me. I feel terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, they tested me for RSV, they tested me for COVID, they tested me for strep. And I thought, surely they're going to come back here and tell me I got COVID or something, but what happened? He comes, the doctor come back in there and say, well, you're negative for everything. And we can't find it. And I said,
yeah.
I mean, he gave me some antibiotics. And I took it. I mean, it just seemed like what hurt the others.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying this to you that I'm anybody in special, but I'm going to tell you something. What's a blessing to me today?
Amen.
Tonight is I have a heavenly Father.
Amen.
I'm sitting there by myself, Brother Tony. And I said, Lord, I guess I may have done wrong. I mean, I put my confidence in the doctor heaven. But it don't look like anything the doctor's given is a heavenly.
Yeah.
Brother Stoney, I mean, I'm not saying this to brag, but I tell you, I just opened my heart up. I just poured it out to the Lord, and I said, Lord, I know you're the great physician.
Yeah.
And I said, if it's your will I stay sick, then let me be sick. But I sure would appreciate it.
Thank
if you just give me just a little touch, and just give me a little relief, baby. Change gears a little bit on this. the way the Lord kind of laid it on my heart today. You know, Jonathan, Saul's son, he is a real warrior.
Yeah.
And Jonathan had a lot of faith.
Yeah.
I mean, Jonathan's one made the statement. He said, well, God, he can do it with a few.
Yeah. Yeah.
He can do it with nothing. God can just do anything.
Yeah.
Amen.
His old wicked daddy made a decree there's in a battle against the Philistines. His daddy made a decree that no man was to eat anything. I mean, the army's getting faint.
Yeah.
Amen. They're perishing.
Yeah.
Jonathan comes through a field. And the Bible said in 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 24 said, well, verse 23, it said, so the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle passed over unto Bethlehem. And the men of Israel were distressed that day. For Saul had adjured the people, saying, cursed be the man that eateth any food until evening, that I may be avenged on mine enemies. So none of the people tasted any food. And all they of the land came to a wood, and there was honey upon the ground. And when the people were coming into the wood, behold, the honey dropped. But no man put his hand to his mouth, for the people feared the oath. Jonathan heard not what his father charged the people with the oath. Wherefore he put forth the end of the rod that was in his hand, and dipped it in a honeycomb, and put it to his hand to his mouth, and his eyes were enlightened.
Yeah.
Then answered one of the people and said, thy father straight charged the people with an oath, saying, cursed be the man that eateth any food this day. And the people were faint. And Jonathan said, my father hath trouble with lamb. See, I pray thee how mine eyes have been enlightened because I've tasted a little of this honey.
Right.
Amen. I'm going to say something here in a minute. Verse 31 said, and they smote the Philistines that day, and a mishmash and a giant, and the people were very faint. The people flew upon the spoil and took sheep, oxen, cattle, and slew them on the ground. The people did eat them with the blood. And what they done, they got so hungry they got cannibalized.
Yeah.
They were disobeying God. You know, you don't eat meat with the blood. That's solid scriptures. But anyway, to make a long story short, we see Saul comes into the picture. In verse 42, it says, Saul said, cast lots between me and Jonathan. My son Jonathan was taken. Then Saul said to Jonathan, tell me what thou hast done. And Jonathan told him and said, I did but a taste of a little honey with the end of the rod that was in my hand, and lo, I must die. And Saul answered, God, do so and more also, for thou shalt surely die, Jonathan. And the people said unto Saul, shall Jonathan die, who hath brought this great salvation? Israel, God forbid. As the Lord liveth, there shall not one hair of his head fall to the ground, for he hath wrought with God this day. So the people, listen, so the people rescued Jonathan.
Yeah.
That he died.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can I make a little spiritual application? When I think about this, I think about your pastor. You see, there are enemies out there that would like to get us distressed.
Yes. Yeah, sir.
Get us weak.
Right.
Get us weary. But thank God, God gives the man, God the wisdom to know where the honey is.
Yeah.
And what the honey can do.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, did you know what one writer said the word of, I believe it was Job that said that the word of God was, it was sweeter than honey to his taste.
Yeah.
I'm telling you tonight, you ought to be thankful for the men of God. And what I gather out of this, what I like is God used, listen to this, God used the people to protect them.
Yes.
His army.
Yeah.
They had walked with him. They had fought with him.
Right.
They saw how he had walked with God. They said, well, he's worked, he's wrought with God. He's done what God told him to do.
Right.
And Saul, you're not going to kill him.
Yeah.
We're going to see to him that not one hair. You touch a hair on his head, I believe they'll kill him. and down, talk about it and disagree. I've been through all of that, my friend, here in the last few years. But I'm going to tell you what's a fact, and I thank God for those that will say, preacher, I'm going to stand with you. They ain't going to take you down. I'm going to defend you. I'm going to stand by you. And Jonathan's people said, you ain't attacking him. He's not around today. We're going to stand with him. You don't know what it means to a man of God to have some people who will just stand with you. How can they stand with you when you fall on your face? How they'll stand with you when you're feeling good? They'll stand when you don't seem like you're getting anywhere. I'm a firm believer in pastoral authority.
Yes.
Why?
God uses his men to guide the direction of the church.
Right.
And that's why I do not take that responsibility lightly.
Amen.
I tell our church, I said, you're not going to always agree with me. And I'm not going to always agree with you. And I said, but there has to be a point where somebody has to say yes and somebody has to say no.
Right.
Brother Tony, am I right? Usually, it's the man of God has to step in.
Yeah.
And say, here's what we're going to do, or here's what we're not going to do.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you something. You know what the preacher is? The Bible said that the preacher, the pastor, is a gift to the church.
Yes. Right.
I mean, you get some little panty laced up and tell you everything you want to hear, make you feel good. But somebody like that is like a hireling.
Yeah, that's right.
They'll run, man, when the enemy shows up.
That's right.
Yeah. But old Jonathan was a warrior.
Amen.
They saw that in her.
Right.
And they said, sorry, you ain't kidding.
Right.
We're going to see to it being killed today.
Amen.
Shady Grove Baptist Church, get behind your preacher and his precious wife. Don't leave her out.
Amen.
How many get behind him? Amen. I mean, you know, I heard old Charles Worthy one time preach about palm tree Christians. He said the thing about old palm trees are, he said, most trees, the life is the saps in the bark. Me and my daddy, when I was a little boy, we just covered up in locusts. My dad tried to clean the field off and them old things just come right back. So we'd go out there, Brother Tony, he'd take a knife and he'd give me one. He said, now you peel that locust all the way around. And it would die, that tree would die. And of course all the others would come back and replace it.
Yeah.
But it would die because the life is in that bark.
Yeah.
Old Charles Willis said, you know, the thing about a palm tree, his life is not in the bark.
Yeah.
His life is in his heart.
Right.
He's got a long tap root. He'll send that tap root down when he finds water.
Amen.
He said, you know what a good saint of God will do? He said, you can go in there and peel a bark off of them. He'll come back Sunday. They'll grow another bark, come back Sunday night. So I said, you're not kissing off.
Yeah.
That's kind of people like
that. Hey.
I've never seen such a time that people are so emotional.
Yeah.
Right. Am I telling the truth?
Yeah. Right.
So easy to get my feelings hurt.
Yes, sir.
My wife's sitting here tonight, and I love her 50 years. 50 years we've been doing this.
Amen.
Ever since we've been married, we've been pretty much pastoring, looking after God's things. Yeah. I mean, we've had our heart broke four times, and I care count on.
Yeah.
But thank God for her faithfulness to stand by this
picture. Right.
Amen. Tony, when I'm up there, to feel like the heavens is brass, Brother Tony, and I can look back there and I can see her. I know there's one. Praise God, but it's a lot better when the preacher can look back there and see a smiling face and a good amen. And say, preacher, preach on.
Amen.
Amen. Buster ain't told me to tell you this. I wouldn't preach this in my church.
Right.
Because I don't want to edify myself.
Right.
But if I can help Brother Tony and Brother Stoney, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Because I know they do it for me.
Amen.
The reality, Brother, they said God, God used these people. And I'll let them touch a hat from God.
Right.
Think about this. He told me in Luke 21:17, I'm about done. He said, ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not the hair of your head perish. Acts 27:34, remember this, that storm. Well, Paul said, wherefore I pray you take some meat. This is for your health.
Yeah.
For there shall not a hair fall from the head of any. You know why? Because he said, I stood, had a little talk with the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
He told me, said, you don't know lost any man's life. Just stay with the ship.
Amen.
Amen. What a gift. What a gift God gives.
Amen.
Amen.
Now at that age, man, I think about Brother Tony, I think about Brother Tom, look here. You talk about heroes you looked up to. I mean, that I realized they moved out. We, me and Brother Tony, moved into that slot. But thank God those men were inspiration.
Amen.
Dr. Ben Burton, I know a lot of you didn't like him. I mean, he didn't brush you. He didn't care to tell you.
Yeah.
But Brother Stoney, that preacher cut in on Fridays. Radio station, radio broadcast. I would see a side of him going to tell him people didn't stay. I mean, he loved God.
Amen.
There wasn't no doubt about
that. Yeah.
He told me of an experience. He said one time, preacher, he said, we had nothing in the house to eat. He said, I ain't talking about just going picking out something we wanted. He said, it was down to nothing. He said he just got down and talked to the Lord about it, Stoney. He said a little bit right after he got through, he said, there's a knock at the door. He said, an old deacon come up to the door. He said, preacher, he said, I don't know if you need these or not, but the Lord told me to bring you a sack of potatoes over here. And he said, preacher, he said, I'll tell you. He said, we ate potatoes. I remember I was down in Myrtle, Mississippi, and there I had somebody donated chicken and milk and some of them Baptists. You got the Baptists, they'll grumble and gripe over it.
Yeah.
And some of them got to grumbling about the meal that was provided.
Yeah.
I can hear old Dr. Percy, all right. He said, we're not going to complain about the meal that God provides. We're going to be thankful for it.
Amen.
I want it to stop. Amen.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Yep.
You think about people. And here's the thing. Most of us tonight are gleaning on what those who came through here were.
Right. Yeah.
You're right, sir.
Yeah.
What a blessing. What a blessing.
Yes.
He was to this preacher.
Yes.
Amen. You know, here's the thing, you can't measure a man by his delivery.
Right, yeah.
I believe they said, what was it, Jonathan Edwards, they said he couldn't even, sometimes he'd turn around with his back to the crowd because he was so intimidated.
Yeah.
He gave us that great sermon, sinners in the hands of an angry God, they said multiplies numbers of people got saved.
Wow. Yeah.
Every preacher don't have to be the same.
Right.
Amen. Thank God I ain't like Stoney Cummings.
Right.
I'm not trying to be like Stoney Cummings.
Right.
I gotta be like Doug Woody supposed to.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
You don't judge. Here's another thing. I don't judge a missionary by the results that he gives. Because right. Some missionaries is in a hell bent place.
Yeah.
Well, they're fighting hell by the acre and it's doing all they can do just to spread a little seed of the gospel. We're not seeing much results out of it. Here's the thing I learned a long time ago in the world. to God. Some of us are going to water. Some of us are going to sow seed. God, some of us is going to water it. Then God's going to add the increase. And the sower and the reaper, he said, will rejoice together. And I'm telling you tonight, thank God. I want to just emphasize this again. Let's just get behind the man of God and encourage him. You don't know what he goes through with through the week. You think you have a rough time, but here's what the devil always has done. He goes after the leadership. Why do you suppose we have so many men of God that are falling by the wayside? So you just make sure that no enemy touches the hair on his head what you've got left. But the Lord knows how you fell out of it. But you ought to know, here's the thing, here's the lesson of all this. What God's telling us through the sparrows and the hares, I got you. I got you.
Hey.
I've told this because it blesses me. In 2010, my mom and dad died within 4 months of each other. My dad died in May. My mom died in September. I mean, there wasn't even no problem. We went back to the funeral home about all the information we had about my dad. It's changed a few things. We're right back in the funeral. Brother Tony, you know you preach the grace of God. God's grace is sufficient.
Yeah.
But Brother Stoney, I had a point in my life where I felt like I just failed. I mean, I had feelings.
Yeah.
But I didn't lie.
Yeah.
I had feelings. God, you took my mom away. I prayed and asked her to touch her. And I remember. And then one day I said, Megan, touch your heel and leave her with us for a while. And I remember Brother Stone, the Holy Ghost said, you're praying since.
Yeah.
You're praying for you. Why don't you pray for her, for what her would is? My wife said to me, she would tell you the last time we went to visit her, she was conscious enough to talk. Brother Tony, she said, we're going to have to make a decision because hospice has come in and you can't have life-sustaining fluid and hospice is going to have to give you something. You can come. I said, we can't keep the flow in your life. We're all going to make a decision to pull that plug out, pull that IV out, and let her dehydrate. My sister said, well, I don't see how we can do that. The last thing my mom said, she knew we'd been talking about it. And my mama said to Brother Thomas, she said, Father, y'all just let me go. She said, I miss your daddy. And I got no quality of life. I want to go home. And the great God of heaven took the decision out of our hands.
Yeah.
She slipped into a coma. We didn't have to make that decision. God made it for us.
Amen.
But what I was going to say is there, all that just kind of sat down on me like a heavy weight.
Yeah.
And Brother Stoney, for one time, I mean literally in one time when I finished, I wanted to quit.
Yeah.
I said, God, I can't. I don't understand this. I just want to quit. And I went to the church. I was working on some thoughts for my mama's funeral. And I went into the church and I got down this side of the altar in the church. And I laid down and I cried and just nodded. And I begged God, let me quit. I said, God, I can't. I think I can keep doing this. I mean, I've talked about how good you are. But today, my feelings, it just feels like Lord just left me. I mean, I don't like his feelings about God. And then after I said I'm going to quit, then I got convicted. And then I started confessing my sin. I was asking God to forgive me. And this is the honest truth. Brother Tony, I didn't see no thunder. Didn't hear no thunder. Didn't see no flash in my eyes. But I tell you what I felt. I felt his presence on me.
Amen.
I felt him. I felt him there on that altar. Just like put a warm skirt over me.
Yeah.
He said, son, I promised you. I'll never leave you. And I'll never forsake you.
Amen.
And I'm not leaving you now.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
You know what I did? I dried the tears off like it's not a lady. I got up off that altar. And I said, I don't know how, but I know that somehow I'm going to make it from this day.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, that's our Father.
Amen.
He's interested in everything. Some of you may be going through some things you don't understand tonight. Don't you let that devil tell you. Don't let that devil tell you he don't care. He's got it all. I feel under control.
Amen.
Amen. He brings his will, certainly brings us our security. And I can conclude with this, that no moment of our lives will be uncared for by the Heavenly Father.
Amen.
He knows and notes precisely how many hairs are on the head. So watches he over us better than we can watch over ourselves. He here teaches us that in every turn of our life and every labor, he would be present, ready, and certain to secure and deliver us.
Amen.
And I believe all of us can say this tonight. You're here where you are tonight and more because of the grace of God.
Amen.
Amen.
God's grace is all sufficient. Our women have made this statement. He said, no problem for the child of God's ever permanent. Either God will take the problem away, or else he'll take you away from the problem.
Yeah.
Amen.
And we stand together.
Amen.
With our eyes open. I'm glad God Father knows my needs. Knows well. Amen. I thought I was going to sing a song for you and do it tonight, but what the invitation is to your needs. Amen. then he said ill. We talked about the mess our land is in. It's a conditional promise. Heal my people, but you know, humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Here's the problem. Turn from our way. He said, you don't like it. Heaven can give our sin. It's a condition. It ain't that God's short. It is. Promise. I tell you, I've seen a lot of water over here in the last few years. I've seen some kind of stuff though. I'm thankful to God. He's always been faithful.
Amen. I appreciate that preaching. Sometimes I'm most thankful for.
Yeah.
peace that surpasses understanding. My goodness, how sweet he is.
Sounds like God's name.
Amen.
Look at that.
Amen. Amen. Amen, God bless you.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, Gabe will be back tomorrow night. Lord willing. Preacher Tony, would you just listen to a little prayer?
Our Father, I want to thank you for the word you sent by tonight. Lord, I pray that you use it to strengthen my faith. But I realize there's not one thing I can do without faith that will honor your name. God, we're here to honor it. That's why you created us. And God, that's why you saved us. But I pray that you'd revive this church so your name can be honored. I pray you'll help the men, God, and the Doug, the rest of the meeting, Brother Stoney, God, give him wisdom as he guides and leads this church. God, we're thankful. It's not about us being worthy. It's about your mercy being from everlasting to everlasting. Lord, I'm so thankful, God, for who you are. God, we're grateful that you've let us in on your goodness. Lord, you watch over us and guide us. I pray, God, you'd help us. God, we're in dire need of your help. There's no other help that will really do the job and really help us. God, it's you or you or nothing. God, help us to look to you and help us to call upon you and draw nigh to you. God, I'm thankful again for the mercies and grace of God that you remind us tonight. God, that you care about us and you love us. God, help that to strengthen us. Keep on serving and honoring Jesus.